aid in maintaining the wetlands, that area, the stream and the woods, and was certainly the cause of their concern in raising it in the first place, is to maintain the amount of water running in that direction. So it's the best I can answer. Again, I was not aware of an actual well in that location.
Okay. Can I just ask a follow-up to that question?
Yes.
Did somebody use that well?
Listen, you can't ask him because he's not under oath.
Right.
You can ask him later. You could ask him, but he doesn't know.
You don't know. Okay.
All right, next.
Evening, Nick Corcadillis, spelled Nick,
you got
N-I-C-K.
You speak louder into that thing or move on to come on up.
Nick, N-I-C-K, Corcadillis, C-O-R-C-O-D-I-L-O-S, 73 Old Mountain Road, Clinton Township. The applicant stated at the beginning of the presentation that you are a successor to Ingerman. Is Ingerman still involved in this project?
They're related entities.
Related entities. And just a little clarification with respect to steep slopes. I think I caught part of the explanation about how you caught errors in the steep slope calculations.
Nick, you got to go louder.
Right. Sorry. With respect to statements made about steep slopes earlier, you said that you had caught some errors that the prior engineer had made. Is the net of this that there are actually more steep slopes being disturbed or less being disturbed overall?
The net result is there's no new steep slopes being disturbed as part of the plan than was already identified, than would be, was approved under preliminary.
But based on the errors that you found, does it now turn out that more are being disturbed than the original engineer suspected?
Stating it that way, yes.
And would you once again explain how much more?
Yeah.
37.3. I'm just reading off my notes. The amount of disturbance shown on the preliminary site plan is 37.3% of the 15 to 25% steep slopes, which is now, it turns out, it's 45.5% of the 15 to 25% steep slopes. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And 5.6% of the slopes over 25% were indicated on the preliminary site plan. Turns out at 16.7% of the over 25% steep slope as shown in the plan now. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So is it fair to say there's a lot more steep slope being disturbed than the original engineer said there was?
The same amount of steep slopes are being disturbed.
She wants to know what's the increase from 5.6% to 16.7%. Is that a significant increase?
No.
Is that a significant increase?
It is not.
Threefold.
It's based on.
Sorry, it's not threefold.
Excuse me.
Hey, Ito.
Excuse me.
One at a time, please.
In your opinion, is a mistake that showed 5.6% to 16.7%. Is that a significant mistake? That's what he's asking.
That is not, in the context of what we're disturbing, is not a significant number. And I will show you on the plan.
Is that part of the plan set? Sheet 4, part of the plan set?
Yes.
Yes, it is. For the record, this is the demolition, tree removal, and steep slopes plan, sheet 4 of 24, prepared on December 22nd, 2017.
So,
I'm going to stand for this one. This represents the gray colors.
Wait, John, do we need a microphone for him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just pick the table mic.
Which level
view? Just put it right here on the corner.
This is our steep slopes. This is our steep slopes plan.
Leave it on the counter. It'll pick you up.
Yeah. What it shows is the site in the dark line that runs around
the perimeter of the site. So Beaver Avenue to the right, off the hill. This is the area which we are modifying the grading and disturbing the site. This is no different than what was in the preliminary plan. What's in gray, those are the areas of between 15 and 25% slopes. And you'll see areas in lighter gray along the edge of Austin Hill where the site really drops off. That's more or less a man-made grade because of cutting in Austin Hill Road, an area at the corner, area at the driveway, area up against the side where the firehouse did its construction and it drops off, areas in between where the barn are. Those are areas of over 25% slope. The reason why I brought this up is that the number changed, yes. The number went up threefold by number. But the reality is this amount of disturbance didn't change versus the preliminary. It was the same amount regardless. And as I talked to you earlier, the disturbance that's shown here, these slopes are, for the most part, in the front of the site, all man-made. These are all man-made slopes throughout. Man-made slopes of the firehouse, yes, there's a stretch of 15 to 25% slopes that head down towards the river that will be disturbed. But that is a number that's probably, this percentage, I don't have the exact number, but it's probably closer on order of the 30% or less than 30% that was originally being proposed to be disturbed.
Two things, Mr. Skapinitz. One, please take your microphone with you while you travel. And two, again, the steep slope disturbance is only significant to the extent that it's causing an erosion issue on the site, correct?
That's correct.
And in this case, is there an erosion issue being created as a result of the steep slope disturbance?
No, there's not.
Thank you.
Was the planning board's original understanding of the amount of steep slopes being disturbed at preliminary significantly different from its understanding now? I don't know how else to ask this question. I've asked it three times now, and the attorney asked it as well, and I think he reflected what I was asking.
I'm afraid we can't speak to what the planning board's understanding
okay.
is.
Okay. With respect to your stormwater management plan, would you characterize the system as an infiltration system or as a detention system or a combination of the two?
A combination of the two.
Okay. And your detention basin on the, I'm sorry, it's the southwestern portion of the property?
Yes.
Can that accommodate a full storm?
It accommodates the storms we're required to design against under the state regulations for stormwater management. Okay.
So in worst case, worst storm, what volume of water will be detained in that basin?
I don't have a number, but I can tell you that the maximum depth in that basin at the outlet structure will be 5.5 feet.
Okay. And where does that...
Maximum depth of water?
Maximum depth of water would be 5.5 feet. I did not have the volume.
Okay, I got you.
And where does that basin discharge?
It discharges to the intersection of Austin Hill and Beaver, where there's already an existing stormwater collection system that is maintained by the county.
Okay, and where does that discharge to?
That travels to the west down Beaver Avenue. As you're at that point, you know, the road travel goes downhill as you're heading towards
right.
the New Jersey the Department of Transportation building. And right at the middle of that frontage, there is a culvert. Sorry. There is a culvert that that pipe discharges to the continuation of the brook that is actually behind our site.
Okay. What kind of treatment will your detention basin do of the water before it leaves the detention basin?
We are pre-treating it basically, but that's where the combination comes in. We've had a small sediment basin that is on the northern end, the inlet portion of that basin, and I'm going to refer to, this is Exhibit A3. You'll see the gray triangular shape that I just pointed to, and that's essentially a small sediment trap where we captures heavier particulates that may get into the drainage, then into the system, and then water would then fill the rest of the basin beyond once it gets beyond that point. And for the water quality storm, which is essentially our every 2 year, inch and a quarter storm of rain, that water will infiltrate. Anything above that, we don't need to infiltrate any further. That takes care of the DEP requirements, and we kick that out to the county system, but at a controlled rate with an outlet structure.
Okay, so you said that the water eventually goes to the culvert, which goes to the creek.
Correct.
There was a reference made earlier to a Category 1 stream. Is that what that is that stream a Category 1 water body?
Yes, it is.
When you have an infiltration system, what percentage of your total dissolved solids have to be removed? When you have an infiltration system, what percentage of total dissolved solids under DEP rules have to be removed from the water before it hits the stream?
We're at this case, it's infiltration. So we're meeting, essentially for a C1 waterway, we're meeting the, I believe it's 90% that we're required for a C1 waterway.
I believe it's 90, sorry. Is it not true that it's 95%?
It's 95. You're correct. You're correct.
And it just, we are meeting that.
And we are meeting that through this design, correct.
Okay, so with the detention basin, again, just to be clear, the detention basin, you're required to remove what percentage of total dissolved solids?
95%.
You are, correct?
And we are through this design.
Okay. Thanks. That's all I want to know.
Thank you.
Anyone else have a question? Raise your hand, and Mr. Karpadilis will hand you the microphone. And can you come up to the front and speak loudly into that mic?
Because okay.
Or you can put the mic really an inch away from your mouth, and then we can hear.
Okay, my name's Denise Stallone.
Can't hear.
Oh, I never
talked. Well, come, keep on moving up there. Yeah, try
Denise
to
Stallone.
What's the first name?
Denise.
Spell your last name.
Stallone.
And your address?
25 Greenbrier Lane. I was wondering, with all these, assurances that you're giving us, what's the recourse for the county or the town or township if these things don't work as planned?
Well, firstly, the applicant intends to continue to own the site, and they will have people living there. So number one, the applicant has to make sure that it's continuing to provide a functional community for its tenants. So it would have to fix any problems that it has if they were discovered after construction, for example. If there's an issue discovered prior to that, then the applicant has to come back before the board, just as it has now, seeking an amendment to its site plan, which is part of the reason why we're here now, to correct some of the things that were identified.
So you're forever responsible for the site and its maintenance?
The site is approved as a rental building, so there will always be an owner of the site, and that owner, well, it certainly has obligations to the municipality, but I would think any owner would say, more importantly, they have an obligation to their tenants, because they want to keep their tenants. To make sure that the site continues to function.
And who's the owner?
The owner is Beaverbrook Urban Renewal Associates.
And who are they?
It's an LLC that owns the property.
Are they here?
They are.
Oh, are they going to talk to us?
Currently, I don't know that there's any reason for them to.
Oh. Not even to lay eyes on them?
You know,
there's
representatives in the room, but... Make that relevant somehow.
Well, I don't know. I just feel like there's sort of this entity in space. But thank you.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions? Can you pass the mic back?
Hi. I'll move up. Craig Highsmith, 22 Center Street.
Bill,
oh, sure. C-R-A-I-G-H-I-G-H-S-M-I-G-H. Sure.
Don't drop off at the end. It's nice and loud.
It's like High and then Smith put together. So H-I-G. High Smith. H-I-G-H. Yeah. S-M-I-T-H.
Address?
Right, cool. 22 Center Street, Annandale. So, forget about, you know, we're just residents, so we don't know. Do you guys only address water concerns? I mean, I only hear about runoff and rain and storms and all that. What about, so, like, it looks like, because I've not seen this before, but it looks like, I don't know, maybe 60, 70 apartments or something, right, rental?
66.
Okay, so in that ballpark. What about usage? What about lawn watering, if there is, or car washing, or oil changes? These are rentals. They're rentals. So there's going to be people. There's going to be. Do you only storm water? Is it usage water? Is it? Do you guys worry about noise pollution? Do you guys get involved with that, or is there someone else who does that? Is this going to be completely noisy? For the people who live in the area,
the reason, and let me try to answer it. The reason that the discussion tonight has been around the stormwater is that's really what's changed.
Put it this way: it's a permitted use under the ordinance to have 66 units of rental housing. So any question about the fact that it's rental housing is permitted.
It's already been approved that you guys are going to put 60 something.
Absolutely.
Okay. And it's okay that
just listen. So what I said in the beginning, what's relevant for tonight are the changes that
they see.
So that's why they're testifying. Again, this is just me speaking. This is not testimony. In my opinion, I agree with the engineer that the most significant change they made is in the stormwater system.
I see.
That's why you're hearing so much about it. They had a total underground system, and now
some of it's above ground.
And then in response to the board experts, now part of it's going back underground. So that's why you're hearing all about this, because that's the most significant change.
So you guys have covered, none of it's going to go into the stream down below, and you guys have covered all those bases. Yeah, okay.
And just for the sake of clarifying the record, when you say none of it's going to go into the stream down below, you mean none of the dirty water?
Sure, from runoff of a dirty parking lot, dirty cars, et cetera.
Right. Yes, okay. Just wanted to make sure that the record is clear as to what water we're talking about.
Cool.
Anyone else have any questions? Can you hand the mic?
Hi, my name's Gene Sabatino, G-E-N-E-S-A-B-A-T-I-N-O, 24 Maple Avenue in Annandale. I would just like to know if there was any studies done on traffic patterns, traffic, all that stuff, quality of life down there, home values, putting this in the village. We all bought in the village because it was the village. Now you're sticking this right in the middle of the village.
So yes, and I'm going to be, Kathy, I don't want to go, and this also addresses the previous gentleman's comment.
So traffic was all done at the initial preliminary approval. There's no changes to traffic, so that's my opinion. That's not an issue.
That's what I was asking, because I know Beaver Avenue sometimes you can't drive on.
Not an issue that should be discussed this evening, because it's already been decided in 2016.
When? We have questions. That's why we're all here.
It was discussed at the preliminary approval.
Which was nobody here knows about, is what I'm saying.
And we noticed, and the notice was
noticed.
Slow down.
Noticed.
One at a time. And we know the applicant noticed per the law. I don't know what else to say. I mean,
you weren't here last time. You're here this time, but that doesn't mean you can open.
I didn't hear about it till someone saw an article that was buried in the newspaper somewhere to let us know this was going on.
I want to tell you the questions so far you're asking are irrelevant, in my opinion.
So we can't state our opinions on anything.
You can state your opinion at the end
when you get to talk.
Yeah.
This is an irrelevant question.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
We're just trying to keep, I don't know when.
This is my first meeting.
No. At the end, you can say it, but we're trying to keep the process that this is the engineer.
Questions for the engineer.
And then.
Anyone else have any questions for the engineer?
Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Giuliano, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-O. 21 Foxfire Lane in Clinton. I just want to understand the detention tank at the I guess it's the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That's piped from catch basins throughout the site?
That's correct.
Okay. And if I understood correctly, that's going to be above existing grade?
It's called an above-ground basin. Essentially, it's the term used for it. It sits on top of the ground level, all right? It sits on which we set it at. However, in this case, we're digging into the ground. The bottom of this basin will be excavated and set at an elevation that's about 8-9 feet below the elevation if you stood at the top of the hill just outside the house in that corner today. The bottom of that basin would be about 8 to 9 feet lower than where you were standing.
There's an exhibit coming that will help to see.
So you have a wall section and an elevation.
Yeah, and one of the things we've asked for, sir, and that's is with the landscape architect, I believe, next we're going to see renderings, and that's what our landscape expert also sort of cautioned us to look at. So that's coming at the next witness.
Right. Okay, but is there a reason why you don't fully submerge that tank, you know, below existing grade, so it's not visible?
That's what he just finished.
That was
that's disgusting. What Mr. Bosenberg recommended.
No, he's not saying underground. He wants to know why it's not being dug down from grade level as opposed to built up and then dug down.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, why is it why is it not further?
Yeah, it's below you grade. Keep on calling it a tank. It's not a tank.
It's a basin. It's a basin, and sorry. Again, we're going to dig down and essentially carve this, creating a detention basin. Mm-hmm. We're carving this area out. This lower area, I mentioned that gray triangle as I run my finger around the plan. This is the lowest part of the basin. That would be about 8 to 9 feet below. Again, if you were standing at this point, we're digging a hole 8 to 9 feet deep, and then what we're doing is we're bringing the grade back up to the normal grade at about this location, and then we're recontouring the slopes down towards Beaver Avenue to form out that basin.
And what's the bottom of that basin? Is it concrete or is it earth? What is it?
Earth.
Oh, it's earth.
Yep.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Anyone else who hasn't asked a question? You already asked a question, sir. Anyone else who hasn't asked a question?
No, you didn't.
Not until everyone has a chance to ask
the first
question. We're not letting people ask second questions when people haven't been able to ask the first question, and it's 10:25.
Hello.
Hello.
My name's Tom Balla, B-A-L-L-A. Tom is D-O-M. 2 Woolley Drive, Annandale. My question is for the amount of asphalt parking lot area that's being brought into the now grass area. The amount of blacktop is going to be salted, and it's going into the retention basin, which creates salt water. It's going into the Beaverbrook, and is what type of filtration, if any, is going to be in an above-ground catch basin? And what type of maintenance is going to be initiated to the catch basin to clean the sediment, which is 9 feet deep from what you just said? And is there going to be what type of fencing to protect people from falling into a 9-foot hole?
Very good questions. I'll tackle the first one, which from a salt perspective, there's no particular requirement or specified design to do that, to take away salt per se. It's just the same, you know, we're obviously right adjacent to Austin Hill and Beaver Avenue, which are obviously salted all the time. So it's the same collection system.
But it's that much more square feet.
Understood. But that gets viewed now into the maintenance part of it and cleanup and ensuring that basin works really for all other events, and that it's filtrating, infiltrating the water quality storm correctly, and that's where the operation and maintenance manual that we're required to put together comes into play. And we have, under the stormwater rules, we're required to prepare an operation and maintenance manual for that basin that gets submitted to the township. They have a record of it, and basically it's the rule book which the owner will need to abide by continue to maintain that basin in perpetuity.
And who they answer to when they don't do that?
Someone in the township would be required. If it's noticed any complaints or any issues with that, that would go directly to the township. And they would be able
the
to
fact that it. Salt will not recrystallize when the retention basin dries up, mm-hmm. it's going to either permeate the soil or in an overflow situation, it's going to go out into the brook and add that much more mm-hmm. salt. Sidewalks and blacktop. Just wondering if there's any type of aqua swirl situation going on in there.
There's not. We do have that sediment, that forebay in the basin to trap the majority of those materials ahead of time. That's the triangular shape in gray that I showed.
And that goes back to the maintenance plan of the...
Correct. That's why that's the key.
All right. And there's, there's no idea who's governing that.
Well, again, the operation and maintenance manual, which we're required to put together under the state stormwater rules, gets submitted to the town, and that makes the township essentially enforceable.
It gets recorded as a deed restriction. That's what the township requires.
All right, because in the area I see other retention basins that are not.
That's right. Some of the old ones. Yep.
No, there's a governing body that's supposed to oversee that, and it doesn't seem
and
like it's being done.
What the documents say.
But we're just adding to that.
Depends what the documents say.
They were approved by...
I can just add to that. Some of the older detention bases didn't have requirements for operation and maintenance manuals, right. And the new stormwater regs...
How far back does this go?
2004, the regs were adopted. So 2004, you came in, designed a basin, say you take care of it, but there was no regulations, there was no maintenance...
So then they're just like wild fireworks course. Factory.
Correct. But post-2004, they're now required to... file an operation and maintenance manual. They're required to file that as a deed restriction, and if there are issues, they will be enforced.
So with the deed restriction, they're not able to sell the property off to the next owner until they clean up?
No, the deed restriction means that subsequent owners also take on that responsibility of maintenance.
Okay, that's just it's like a gray area because it's skirting around the enforcement of it. So, all right, thank you.
Do you want to say something?
Yeah,
sorry,
just two.
Oh, the fence, yeah. Oh,
fence.
Well, hang on a second. Mr. Keller wants to.
Two possible ways to ameliorate the potential impacts of the salt is to use calcium salt instead of sodium salt, which generally is considered to have less environmental impact, or in combination or by itself as a substitute to use grit instead of salt. Grit isn't water soluble and would accumulate in the basin as runoff, and that can be removed as part of the maintenance program. Mm-hmm. So you're correct that even every development has potential cumulative impacts.
But we're adding to the
right. Every development has a.
I have yet to see Clinton salt the field over there.
That development may not have a big impact, but it adds to all the other developments.
Yes, and,
so anything that can be done as part of the maintenance program for this particular development can help ameliorate the potential impacts.
Okie dokie. Thank you. Next.
Does anyone who hasn't asked a question yet have a question? Right?
Oh, the wall, the fence. Yes.
Yes.
There'll be a 6-foot-high fence around the.
Can't hear you. Can't
sorry,
hear
around
you.
A 6-foot-high fence will be placed around the basin. And on top of the wall.
An aesthetic fence. What questions about that? The landscape?
Yeah, we're going to see that.
Yep.
Okay.
Landscape architect will show you what that looks like.
Anyone have any further questions before we go to second questions, let's take anyone who hasn't asked a question want to ask a question? Okay, so before we go to the two gentlemen who have second questions, that's it. It's going to be no more questions unless, if you haven't asked a question, if you don't indicate now you have one, going once. Going twice, going three times. So the two guys who want follow-up questions, go ahead. Who's going first?
Nick Corcadillis again. What is your confidence level that your system will remove the 95%?
Can you speak louder,
sorry.
Please?
Closer to the mic. What is your confidence level that your system will remove 95% of total dissolved solids?
I'm following the state... best management practices manual and to design this, which is my rule book. Sorry, best management practices manual, which is my rule book for designing this basin in accordance with the state standards. They tell me that I can design this as an infiltration basin and meet the water quality requirement and meets the 95. So
Okay.
I'm going based on the state standard.
How does Clinton Township know whether you're actually removing 95% or at some points that's not happening? What is the...
Nick, you got to talk louder again. You're dropping off at the end.
What is the accountability mechanism for the township making sure that you're actually removing 95% at any point in time?
It goes back to the operation and maintenance manual and the protocol that the township may have set up or will set up to inspect this basin to ensure that it's operating properly. I'm sorry.
Just, you know, if you don't speak loud, it's not going to be picked up. It's as if you didn't speak. I know it's getting late, but people just have to keep your voices
up. If I may, just before you speak. The experts may not look you in the eye when they're speaking. They're trying to get caught on the microphone.
Understood. Understood.
So, again, it depends on the township's protocol, whether they have in place now or will in the future for the inspection of this basin to maintain the inspections and see that it's functioning as designed.
Can you describe the mechanism whereby the 95% total dissolved solids will be removed by your system?
It's through, basically, we have infiltration of stormwater, and we also are setting our lowest orifice above the bottom of the basin, which allows for, and over time, you're going to see basically the suspended solids, silt will build up into that basin, which will need to be made. So that's where the inspection, again, kicks in.
And who will be responsible for removing and cleaning that system?
The owner's responsible for it.
Thank you.
And this other gentleman had follow-up questions, too.
John Ferguson again. You said that the system removes 95% of solids, correct?
Of total suspended solids, correct.
Is oil float on top of water?
It does.
And the oil from that parking lot, if there is some, will come down into the basin, skip the sediment, go into the pond, and then overflow eventually into the Raritan River. Do you have an environmental impact study on the Raritan River based on oil debris from this site?
It's not necessary for me to prepare such a study, and no, I do not.
Okay, so that's all the questions for this witness. So, Mr. Chairman, it's now a little after 10:30. So what is your pleasure? Do you want to try to start the landscape expert or not, knowing that we're going to continue on February 21, but knowing how many – after the landscape expert.
After landscape architect, we have our regular architect who will be very brief. Our environmental expert who has to just speak to the one outstanding issue, and then finally our planner.
Yeah, I mean, I look to the board as well. I mean, it would be nice to get a little more, but I don't want to necessarily keep us here.
Do we want to set a particular time and then stick to that?
Yeah, I would think at the very minimum we want to be out of here, you know.
Can I just make a suggestion? I would think everyone's here.
Let's
get the landscape guy and get his exhibits up there so everyone can see them.
Let's shoot for that because that's the obvious next step here on the whole detention basin question, which we should hear.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Everyone in this place.
They're relocating the lot here, obviously, which impacts the green or emerald. Is there an opportunity for the corner or the benefit to? That's the best spot for
it. Yeah, because of the safety zone around that, the type of apparatus is pretty much it. Actually,
is that the best? I guess that's.
You're going to be
Well, we originally was here.
Yeah,
we recommended moving it there because I was worried about the.
I remember that. Yeah,
that conflict with the road and just.
Which makes sense.
I mean, you're short of. I don't know what else you do with it.
No, I know. It's just a question. It's my.
That would be my preference to have that too. But just if you took this and put it here, I worry about
it. Makes sense in the middle of the place.
Well, there really is no other place.
I really appreciate it. I just don't want to pull this out.
question.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. Screws up.
This drawing makes it look so benign.
Okay, are we ready? Shy. Okay, let's do a quick.
Good luck.
Yes.
That's quite a bit.
All right.
Okay. Ready when you are.
Just start it up.
All right. Mr.
For the record, what's your name again?
My name is Thomas Bauer, B-A-U-E-R.
Mr. Bauer, please stand by your microphone. Thank you. Mr. Bauer, could you please give a brief overview of your qualifications?
Sure, certainly. Okay. I'm principal in a landscape architectural firm of Melillo and Bauer Associates. Our offices are located in Brielle and Jersey City, New Jersey. We have been in business since 1979. I am one of the founding principals. I'm a graduate landscape architect with a Bachelor of Science in Landscape Architecture.
You're going to have to
say that. I will do that. I know everybody's in a rush. I have a Bachelor of Science degree from Penn State University in 1976. I am a fellow in the American Society of Landscape Architects, National Society. I'm a past president of the New Jersey chapter of the American Society of Landscape Architects. I've been before this board in the past and many other boards across the state and out of state.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. We would ask that the board accepts Mr. Bauer as an expert in landscape architecture.
Any questions or concerns from the board? How about the public?
Anyone in the public have questions about Mr. Bauer's qualifications as a landscape architectural expert? No questions.
Okay, so we're okay with him being an expert.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, Mr. Bauer, can you please, I think you know what the primary question is, so tell us about the basin.
The first thing I'm going to do for Mr. Drill is tell you I have seven exhibits. One has been used already. It is this plan, A2, and I have six others.
Okay, so hold on. We're up to A5, so let's make, we're up to A6. So let's make an A7 through an A12. Oh. Good. We're up to A5, so next we'll get to A6.
Yes, that's what I have as well. Thank you.
So the A2, I'm going to refer to A2 first, which is the site plan that Mr. Skapinitz has referred to earlier. There's been a lot of discussion. I'm going to focus our discussion on the area along Beaver and Austin Hill Road, specific to the detention basin, having to do with existing trees along that area, as we are all well aware of, and the relationship of that landscape to the community building and the first building, Building 6, as they front on Beaver Avenue. The basin, let me refer to this plan one more time. I have indicated on this plan several perspectives that I will be showing you on the other easel. I'm going to show you an overview initially of what this basin looks like, and then I'm going to show you various perspectives as we move from the eastern portion of our site, moving downhill along Beaver to the west, what it's going to look like as if you were driving by or walking down the sidewalk. Okay, that perspective, that's what I would like to, so that I can ease all of your concerns about the aesthetics. Mr. Bosenberg indicated that he's concerned of the visual impact. And what I would like to tell you is that I think that the visual impact will actually be improved at the end of the day as opposed to what it looks like today. We have a community center today that is in a state of decay. It is wrapped with in large part, overgrown vegetation, some of which is dead, some of which is dying, some of which is very mature and would ideally be saved.
And however, Mr. Bauer, just to pause, when you say we have the community center today, what you're actually referring to is the Homestead property or Homestead building that's currently on the site.
A building today.
Thank you.
That sits in that location. That is in decay.
It's going, nice
it will be restored.
Sir, can you control yourself?
No, I can't. Let me get to the mic.
No, you know, sir, anyway, I'm not going to throw you out, but you're being incredibly rude.
What did you just say?
I'm going to use curse words? That's mature. Clinton Township resident.
Yeah.
The existing homestead will be restored, as you will be hearing from our architect in our next meeting. The first view that I am showing here, which is Exhibit A6, is actually taken from above, a little bit above grade. You will not see this perspective as you drive by, but I show you this simply to show you what the wall will look like that wraps around the building, what the fencing will look like atop that for safety purposes, and what the general landscape will look like. Again, as it was described, it's basically a dugout section of earth within that existing grade, and the balance of it from the top of that slope back to the existing curb at the intersection of Beaver and Austin will remain very similar to what it is like today. Understand that there is a grade change in excess of 15 feet today from the curb line at Austin and Beaver Hill up to the homestead, 15 feet. Within that 15 feet, we have a slope from the curb line up to this area, and it continues today to the homestead. It will continue up to the top of the basin as it is today, very similar, but behind that will be a basin that is dug out that is storing the water from the storms. Okay, so basically, I hope you understand what that looks like. In addition, we have a fence above it. There has been testimony that it's going to be a 6-foot-high fence. I don't believe there's any need for a 6-foot-high fence. I think, as we have on balconies across every housing project in America, a 42-inch-high fence or perhaps even 48-inch as a post and rail with a chain-link fabric, as recommended by Mr. Bosenberg, is more than adequate for protection. So my suggestion is a 42-inch-high post and rail fence with the fabric, part of the landscape, but look attractive, is more than adequate within the landscape. The second image is where
Mr. Bauer, just before you move on, will you...
A6 is titled Perspective View A, correct?
Perspective View A.
So right now, just go through and identify these for the record so we don't have to do it. So you got... What's Exhibit A7?
Perspective View B. They go in order. Okay. Perspective View B, C, D, E, up until...
Last one's G?
Last one is F.
Mr. Bauer, could you just... Just tell everyone where the first view is from.
Where we stand.
On the floor.
This one. Yes.
No, the one.
No, the previous one. Yes, I'm sorry.
View A.
Perspective view A, as is labeled on A2, is taken right in this location, okay, high above.
So you're
looking down in a northeast view to see what that looks like from this perspective.
So you're standing on top of the graded bank.
I'm above that graded bank. I'm up in the air. Yes.
So you're 10 feet above that?
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps 10 feet above. Okay.
Just because it's not misleading, but it's just, and as you aptly said, you probably won't see this view.
You will not see this view.
Okay.
You could see this wall, though, if you climb up here and look into it. Okay? So the next view, I'm going to start a series of views, as I mentioned, coming from the eastern portion of Beaver Avenue. We're starting here. This is view B, then C, and then D is down in the corner. So I've got two views. This is perspective view B, taken up by immediately adjacent to where this trash enclosure is in this location. So if we're in a car or walking on the sidewalk right here, looking this way, we'll see building 6 and the community building, renovated community building. So this right here is building 6. It's a mass model of building 6, not specific to the architectural design, but in scale it is. It's a mass model. Further down, you can see the homestead here. There's vegetation in front of it. Some new, some existing vegetation that we are preserving. I will do that. Some new vegetation and some existing vegetation. You can see the grade change. There's still grade change. Although Beaver Avenue drops as we go from east to west, it drops downhill, the site is still high. I think it was testified earlier that there's about a 5-foot grade change in this area adjacent to the trash where that fire truck wanted to go up the hill. As we go further down the hill, that's where we get up higher. It's about a 15, maybe even an 18-foot grade change. So we're going downhill, and our site of the townhomes and the community center, future community center, are elevated. So this is the view as one is traveling in a western direction coming downhill. This is view B on A7. We're going to go further downhill, and we're going to look at exhibit A8, which is view C. I'll orient you on the plan. View C is directly from this location. Immediately to the right is building 6. So I'm looking more directly at the community building.
And that was referring to exhibit A2.
This is that I just referred to, plan A2. Now looking at perspective A8. This is our community center right here, future community center. You see folks walking on the path, our road to the left. These there are existing, I believe they are Norway maples, along the curb line in this location. That is what the view looks like. You can see a fence in that location. You can see an ever so tiny bit of wall, a couple of feet of wall in that location. That's all you can see from this perspective. That's the post and rail fence with a black chain link fence fabric behind it for safety. The detention basin is basically hidden. So the visual impact really is minimal in terms of how that basin affects the view from the corridor. Okay? Again, beautiful perspective. The landscape today is not in great shape. It's weedy. It's not maintained. Dead vegetation interspersed with other existing vegetation and a decaying homestead. At the end of the day, it's my feeling, my advice to you is that it's going to be an improved aesthetic. It's a better looking gateway at the end of the day than it is today.
Can I just get clarification on one thing?
Sure.
What is the distinction between chain link fence fabric and chain link fence?
It's really the same.
Structure. Okay.
Chain link fence is referred to as fabric fencing.
Okay.
Yes. And the reason we say black is because it disappears. It's the vinyl covered galvanized fence.
And then this is behind the post and rail fence?
Behind the post and rail fence.
Okay.
Yes.
So, okay.
Yes. The next exhibit is A9, and it is perspective view D. If I refer to A2, which is our plan, I show you D is directly at the corner, looking back at the corner of the homestead. So again, this is our lowest point. At this elevation, we are about, as I mentioned, 15 to 18 feet of grade change up to the homestead. So you can see again that slope. The sidewalk will wrap the street. This is actually the existing curb as it is today. There's an indent in the street where an inlet is located. And as you can see, that topography will roll up ever so slightly as it does today. Really no different. And as you can see, or as you can't see, there's a basin behind you. You can see the fence in the distance. Not a negative visual impact at all. And ground plane treatment of mowed lawn and the fescue grass. The same palette of material, same design vocabulary that we had approved at the preliminary hearing last time. So again, a very attractive of landscape, and it will mature over time.
Based on our previous approval, where I think the hot lot was in that corner, right?
That's correct.
Would that have been visible from the street?
Sure.
Okay, so this is actually less visible than previous approval.
That's because that's correct. The board tried to get them.
We tried.
I remember
to
that.
Remove the
yeah.
hot lot.
That's
from
right.
there in the center of the site. Yeah. Now, ultimately, the board didn't impose it as a condition. Now they voluntarily,
okay.
It's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
Right. We decided we like it better in the center of the site,
sure.
which
Mr. Bauer,
is in this location. Yes.
A couple of questions.
Sure.
So could you just go back maybe a little more slowly and just talk about the change in topography? And I believe that's A9 view D. That we just finished. Could you just describe that again? Because it just so the board completely understands the difference between what's there now
And what's proposed?
Yes, sure. Let me refer to the plan. D is taken on this corner. That's the perspective that we're looking at. And as you all know, by driving by here on a daily basis, I'm sure, the grade slopes up from this curb up to, there's a driveway that comes up in here. You would drive, if you were on that drive, you drive up the hill to the house. It goes up. From the grade from here is about 15 feet lower, perhaps even 18 feet lower than the grade at that house. So it slopes. It's a general gradual slope. We're proposing to have very similar slope in this area to come up here ever so slightly steeper. You won't even know the difference. And then behind that will be that basin and a grade change made up with the wall we saw in the first exhibit.
So what I wanted the board to understand, I think that's a pretty good description, but the percent slope is going to get considerably steeper over what's there now.
It's dramatic, surprisingly not much steeper, because there's actually a little bit of a flat area out there before it goes up. So if we even out that grade a bit, it's really very gentle. It's a very gentle slope. And if you'd like, we can give you technical percentages, which I don't have at this moment, and show you exactly what they are. We can generate sections for you for the board, before and after sections to directly correlate what that grade change is. But I think it will be very attractive, and I think you'll be delighted by the outcome.
I did have one question while you have this view up of the corner, and it's more of a site plan question. I think the board in the preliminary application requested that the sidewalk be extended to the intersection. I may be wrong, and I just wanted to clarify that before.
I don't recall that, but we certainly can do it. Okay. In other words, for a crosswalk?
Exactly, to continue across the intersection.
We can certainly do that. We can accommodate that request, yes.
And Mr. Bauer, and I hate to keep asking you to back up, but if you could just go back to C8, and maybe my question is more the one below it, which would be B. Okay, so if you put those two side by side, I think what you're presenting is a summer view, correct? Fully leafed trees.
Yes, in full leaf. Yes.
And in that exhibit, wouldn't you agree that 50% of it is evergreen? And in the next view, which would be C8, would be mostly deciduous. So the difference would be in the wintertime that it's going to be more of an open view.
That's right.
But I think, though, we also discussed, and that I'm sure you'll be getting to that, about adding some supplemental vegetation.
Exactly. That's one of the items Brian and I was going to cover. Brian asked us if we would be willing to supplement this with additional plant material. We said we would be glad to accommodate it. So we can be glad to work with you on that and add some, whether it be evergreen or deciduous or a combination of the two, glad to accommodate that request. Yes. I also might indicate at that point, since we're talking about some of your comments, there is an existing tree right off the corner, right off the which would be the western corner, southwestern corner of Building 6. There's a large existing tree that is not shown in this graphic because Mr. Brett graded the area and lost that tree. Okay? Ryan has asked us, and we've spoken to Brett about this, if Ryan suggested if we build a small retaining wall, and perhaps that's where we repurpose some of that stone that's being taken down. If we repurpose that, if we build a retaining wall and regrade that area, it would appear that we can save that tree. And it's a very mature, old, as you said, Brian, an historic tree. We'd love to save that tree. So let's see if we can do that, build a wall at its drip line or darn close to it, and see if we can save that tree. And again, it's well worth the effort to do that. We're glad to accommodate you to do so. Okay? So let me finish up here. We are up to view D, which is on A9. I'm sorry, we already did that one. We are up to view E, which is on A10. View E is taken, let me show you on plan. We are now on Austin Hill Road, looking directly east from Austin Hill Road. As we're turning the corner off of Beaver and coming off of Beaver to the right, we're coming into Austin. Our entrance to our community is to the left of this plan. We're looking at the end of the restored Homestead Future Community Center. And again, you can see the grade is still going up. So still, as we're driving by this in this perspective, we're still not looking into that basin. We don't see it. In fact, you can see a little bit of the fence as an indication and a beautifully restored architecture. And then the last exhibit, which is A11, which is view F. View F is actually taken. Now I'm standing on driving into the entry drive, and I'm looking back to the south at the basin. and finally we get a perspective of that basin from here. So again, you can see the folks, man and her daughter with the balloons, walking on the sidewalk adjacent to. So if I'm driving by or actually walking by, I can see the building, I can see the fence, I can see some of the wall, which goes from an elevation zero on one end down to about 12 feet high in the middle and then back to zero again. So it gets high and then low on both ends. There's our basin, nicely landscaped. Again, a mix of deciduous and evergreen trees and a ground plane treatment that is the fescue, as we talked about, and I think will be very attractive.
Just if I can ask you to pause for 1 second. If you would like, we can have Mr. Skaffnitz come up and give you the figures as to that grade change that you were asking about, Mr. Rosenberg.
No? Well, I just thought it was important for the board to understand that that slope is going to be moved closer because it's the, that top level area changes the perspective of that.
It does change.
Right.
One or two more points. Let me just in reference to Brian's memo, Brian indicated, if you folks read the memo, that perhaps in order to make the wall less visible, we tier the wall in two tiers and use the decorative stone on the top. I don't think it's necessary to do that because, again, we're not really seeing it. I think we can actually do one wall, and I think we can actually even lower it to and maybe take a foot or 18 inches off of that height. I talked to Brett about that. I think we can do that, get a little bit of a slope up the top, lower that. The wall, as it's shown here, is actually at the elevation 70 as it is per the engineer's plans. But I think we can actually lower that a tad. My preference is to do that as opposed to going to a two-tiered wall system, if you would accept that for the board.
Well, I think we'd have to see the details for that and look at how it's built. And I think the other thing that's important to that, so we need to talk about the materials of that wall. Originally, you were saying an Allen block, which is not the best of the world of the modular concrete split face block walls. So, Mr. Bauer, what would be your recommendation to improve the aesthetics of that?
We are open to discussing with you a material that would be of your preference.
Because in the resolution, it talks about repurposing that stone that's on site, and it's really not practical in the situation for cost reasons and some other logistics. So I think we need to have a further discussion to come up with a solution.
We're okay with that, yes. Yeah. We're okay with an upgraded wall over and above a modular block wall. I agree with Brian. I don't think that repurposing that old stone wall, I know it's old, but old doesn't always mean good when it's historic. It's just old. We can do better. We can do better than taking that stone wall apart, chipping off all the mortar and reusing it. We can do better.
So in the intervening period between now and February 21, can you guys a little try to, because, you know, I think the board shares, or I'll speak for myself, you know, this is, aesthetics are important. That's an important vantage point, building, corner. And so, you know, getting it right is important.
I mean, I have confidence, and I've worked with Mr. Bauer before. If he's willing to meet us halfway here, we can, I'm sure, work something out.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Yeah, and Mr. Bauer, the only other thing I want to just, we just need to clarify is the height of that fence. I think we should carefully look at the code there and maybe talk to Mr. Wright here, the code official in town. Not that you spec a 4-foot fence and he shows up and goes and pulls out a section of the code that I'm unfamiliar with and says it has to be 6, because we've been down that road before and we want to get it right the first time. So I would ask you to call Mr. Wright and explain the heights and what you want to do, and maybe we could bring that to the front of this discussion.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I would personally hate to see a 6-foot fence out there because it is directly outside the community center. There will be activity out there, and there's nothing really nice about a 6-foot fence.
Board members, if any other board professionals have anything to ask, now's the time to do it.
I don't know if this is a question for Mr. Bauer or for Mr. Skaffnitz, but I know in a lot of these communities there's concern about, you know, children playing in the basin or getting in the basin, and I see that you have a fence on the near side to the maintenance building, to the community center, but nothing to prevent kids from wandering into that basin. Is that something that, from a maintenance perception or liability perception?
I mean, I'm never a fan of fencing the basin in unless it's a requirement of municipality. I don't believe it is here, unless I've missed something.
Yeah, it's not required.
It's not required. To me, it's no different than fencing a stream down below or the ocean or a lake or anything like that. I mean, in fact, I find that in cases where they are fenced, they become more of a potential hazard, because if a child should by any chance get in there and get stuck, maybe a parent can't even get over the fence to help. I think it's, you know, it's a part of education and a whole learning experience. I'm not a fan of fencing bases.
I agree with you. I just don't want a fence to show up, you know, during construction that wasn't approved by the court.
Right.
So if it becomes an issue of something that the developer wants to have as far as his insurance or liability, I think we need to come back to this board and have them discuss the type of fence and the location.
Correct.
The applicant will agree to no surprise fences.
Right.
I did have two questions.
Yes.
What is the rationale for not continuing the street trees, particularly along Beaver Avenue? Is it maintain a view shed to the historic building, or?
Really, two reasons. One is really not a consistent run of shade trees there. There's also utility lines right at the curb as well that don't show up here, but they are in fact out there.
The reason I ask, I'm just wondering, within the context being adjacent to the historic Annandale Village, whether or not, if you move further, I guess, east, whether or not that has, you know, more consistent street trees, and whether or not this would be consistent with that or not. I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't think there are consistent street trees along there.
Okay. There's actually not.
There's not.
There's not, okay.
They have, there's sort of this random scattered placement for all of the reasons you talk about the conference.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're good with it, I'm...
Yeah, I think the rural landscape, the meandering bedline, the rural mix of plant material is more desirable.
So, and another quick one is that with the preliminary site plans, the air conditioning units were not shown. They have been shown now, and there are a few between the building and the frontages on Beaver Ave and Austin Hill Road.
Okay.
I know the landscaping plan is generally to not have foundation plantings. We were wondering if maybe some could be strategically placed to block.
We'll be glad to accommodate and subtly screen those units, yes.
You can work with Mr. Bosenberg.
Yeah, and coordinate.
I'm just wondering here, listening to this comment, if maybe if an architecturally correct fence may not be a better solution based on the discussion you and I had last week about long-term maintenance of the site. So if
whatever you...
Okay.
It's like, well, those two guys are getting together with their engineer, maybe you two guys get together with the landscape guy.
I'll leave it to him.
Good. Anything else from the board professionals?
If I may, just wanted to close the circle on the landscape architect's memorandum, Mr. Bosenberg's memorandum, just to make sure that we have covered all of his comments. Mr. Bauer, were there any other comments in Mr. Bosenberg's memorandum that we are not able to comply with or that we need to address?
There was one comment, Mr. Bosenberg, you made about some of the areas where you mentioned that Fescue was in a high traffic area. Our feeling is we'd like to stay with that palette generally for the most part. Again,
I think we should defer that discussion until, because I have some factual information I don't want to share with the board that I don't think they're interested in.
Good.
So let's defer that.
Fine.
But the one point I had, there was a fence on the back. We're going to work that out. On the east side of the site, there was some conflict with some existing trees, and I think that's things that we'll discuss then.
Yeah, and there was some comment. One of you guys made a comment about planting in an easement. We'll certainly respect that easement. That was in there as well.
And just for the record, the applicant will work with you on the fence realignment as well.
Okay, so there's nothing else in this memo, Tom, that you could see as a challenge for you to comply with?
I don't believe so. No, I think we can accommodate every other request.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay. But if that's the case, then I suggest, unless a board member is just dying,
this would be a good...
I have one minor question. Mr. Bauer, you mentioned about site sections. You could provide those. It might be helpful for visuals to see the difference, the distance between the historic structure and the fence and the wall and how that works. Just going out to the street by that area, not the whole site, but if there was something that could,
This area between the building and the
wall. Yeah, going straight out to
a site section this way.
Yeah, right through there.
Sure.
Just to get an idea of what those distances are, and how close things are to the historic structure and such.
We can prepare that. Yeah. Submit that to Brian.
Sort of between vantages C and D is what you're thinking. Is that right? Just so we're all clear. Tom, would you mind pointing to
here's
C?
C?
Yeah.
You see
it's
a couple sections here.
Yeah.
From the historic house out.
Yeah.
So, like, say, the center of the house.
From the house going towards the street.
Going toward the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it would also be helpful for the board to see one to Austin Hill while you're cutting a section.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that corner, it's... really need to understand what's happening.
We'll do a couple on Beaver, we'll do one on Austin, we'll do one right to the intersection.
Perfect. Okay, so let's pick up.
So let's continue the application. We'll pick up the cross-examination of Mr. Bauer at the continued hearing on this application, which is going to be February 21, 2018. No need for further notice. In the interim, you're going to meet, submit, I guess, updated exhibits. Presumably, Mr. Bosenberg is going to write a revised memo. Hopefully, it won't say, you know, as much as this one.
Be nice, short.
Yeah, real short one.
It's hard.
Procedural questions?
Yes.
No. The question is going to be to the architect on February 21. Right. The question to the landscape architect is going to be held on February 21. No one's going to ask them any questions. It's 11:05. They want to identify yourself.
Peter Murphy, Main Street, Annandale.
What's the address on Main Street?
20 Main Street.
Okay.
There's no further notice. You just said there's no further
right.
notice.
Right. It's continued to February 21 without the need for further notice. The case law says that once the notice is given the first time, if you continue an application, you don't have to give notice again. You make the announcement at the meeting. We just made the announcement.
All right.
Another procedural question? Can you come on up, give your name and address?
Colleen Rodriguez, 5 Classified Lane.
I need to do your last name.
Rodriguez, Rodriguez, and Sam. So I have a question. I have several questions about the plan. This is the first time I've...
All the plans are in the planning office, and you can go there during regular business hours and look at them all.
Yes, but I was not done with my question. So I have several questions about this because this is the first time...
Right, but you can't ask them tonight.
I understand. Please let me continue so I can get to my question. This is the first time that I've seen them tonight, so I do have several questions. I've been here since 7 p.m. I've tried to be patient to understand what's happening. You're pushing the meeting to the 21st. I'm not going to be available to attend that meeting. Where can I address my questions since I am not able to be at that next meeting?
You can either get a spouse, if you have a spouse, or you may hire a lawyer or something, but the board's not going to... You know, not going February 21 because one person.
I'm not suggesting that the board doesn't go. I'm suggesting
can she ask questions?
Can
she provide? That's what I think she's asking.
Can she do it in writing?
You cannot do it in writing. The municipal land use laws cannot do it in writing.
So there's nothing in this Clinton Township that will allow me to raise my questions.
There's actually something in the board's rules that specifically say that if someone wants to ask a question, it has to be asked during the public hearing so everyone hears it, it's on the record, and everyone has the opportunity to listen to you and ask your questions. Now, you could contact the applicant's attorney if you wanted and throw questions to them, and they can answer them back, but it won't become part of the record unless you're physically here. And that's to actually protect your due process rights, not just the applicant's due process rights.
I can appreciate that, but given that it's 11 o'clock at night, how long does the meeting typically go to?
10:30. They extended it a half hour.
We try to keep ourselves, just because it...
I mean, you know what, some people... take a look at the room. The room was packed before.
Yeah, no.
Now, if you have a dozen people in here, it's a lot. Everyone else went home. They're probably thinking, I can't believe those guys kept the meeting going to 11:10.
Got it. Right.
So, you know, there's two sides to every story. Some people are like, we want the meeting to go longer so I can ask my question, but most of the people in the room voted with their feet.
That may be true, but I'm clearly standing here and I have questions.
I understand.
Right.
I don't
know what to tell you. We're following the municipal land use law. We're not trying to...
You are allowed to hire an attorney as a representative if you want to... do that to bring someone.
Right,
or ask a friend or something.
It sounds like one of your neighbors to take your questions.
Was she willing to?
If she's an attorney. Or you can feed her your questions. She's just not going to say she's representing you.
Right.
You can ask all your questions.
Right.
But there's ways to do it, but it has to be done at a public hearing on the record. It can't be done in writing. If you did it in writing, and everyone else did it in writing, then, you know, the applicant doesn't know. If the applicant started... you know, answering questions in writing, it has to be part of a public process.
So then I might suggest that there be some form of collaborative questions that people cannot be here, they can submit them, and then those questions could then be read at the hearing.
Find a friend.
All right, that's probably
find
right.
A friend
officially, so that it's but, my voice, not a friend.
But we can't. Look, I hear you, and I appreciate it. We're constrained with state law. We're trying to follow state law. I'm not right. We can't.
I appreciate it. I'm just sharing my concern as a citizen.
I completely understand.
But they'd be right. Violating the municipal land use law, and it puts whatever they do at risk to do it that way. So you're either going to have to get a friend to ask your questions for you. The friend has to ask them as if they're that person's questions, because they'd be engaging in the unauthorized practice of law if they said they were representing you, or get an attorney to do it.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Okay.
Anyway, it's now 11.
Yeah, it's now 11:10. Anything else? If not, bless you. I think we should.
Tell me, the court reporter won't get the sheet and leave, but I would actually like to call it a closed session to give you an update on what's happening in the Affordable Housing Declaratory Judgment action, and I can promise you that it's not going to be 5 minutes, but it won't be 15 minutes. It'll be somewhere between 5 and 15 minutes. And I urge you to please bear with me and agree to stay and go into closed session.
Is that board?
Yep.
Okay.
Are we ready to do that now? Or are we?
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you need a motion for that?
Yeah, but he's got to.
Okay, so this matter is continued until February 21. Same room, same time.
Are we in the same room, or are we at a different location?
Right here.
This is it.
Not the 100 and Wellness Center.
No, they have an application before you.
All right, I understand. Thank you.
100 and Wellness Center is at 10.
I misunderstood what you had said before. Yeah. Same room. Thank you.
Same room. Same for the...
It'll be an exciting meeting.
That there's no action.
No action is going to be taken. This is purely a briefing for the SWIFT.
Yeah, do it. And I'll move into.
Well, I'd like to
read the
resolution.
Hold on.
Let me just read the proposed resolution. Whereas NJSA 10:12, the Open Public Meetings
Act. Can you guys take your discussions outside, please? Sorry.
Will you be here on Wednesday? Council? That's now it'll be another 60 day. You're lucky.
I wasn't
prepared for that.
Exactly.
We'll see.
The matter will involve attorney-client privilege legal advice where confidentiality is required for the attorney to exercise his ethical obligation. Can someone
so
move that motion?
Yes.
Motion.
I just
second.
All right, so Becker, and you with the second?
I got it.
Have a good night.
Yeah. Roll call.
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Klein here?
Yes.
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 And do you want to also make a note, I guess,
and
that
the mayor,
Don is
the mayor
back?
Has come back out of... Right. And Mayor Higgins, who has accused himself in the last application, is now here for the closed session.
By the way, if any... You should never hesitate to give a reason why I refuse.